Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today we will discuss Defiance. That comes on Thursdays, 8, 7 Central on Sci-Fi. We will be discussing the latest 3 episodes, maybe 4, I'm not really sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And discuss the madness that is going on in the great city of Defiance.
Stuff is going down on Defiance. I mean, that would be the understatement to say stuff is going down. So,
oh my goodness. So last we spoke, Tommy hadn't yet learned that Nolan was banging Berlin.
Ouch. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He finds out from Berlin in the worst way possible. She just kind of like blurted it out. And then Nolan kind of just taunts Tommy with it. I mean, he is the punching bag here.
Well, let's not forget the Stama's detection of Nolan as well was rather strategic. So,
what do you mean detection?
Remember when she's smelling? I mean, people don't leave nothing alone in Defiance. This has got to always be out. It's got to be out. Everybody got to know, and there's no way that you can hide it, because you got Stama sniffing you out, you got the video cameras rolling, you got people peeking through your shades. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's a small town, man.
Very small. Very small.
So, I mean, so much has happened. Stama... let's see.
Let's get back to your Tommy thing, because that's a little rough.
Yeah, Nolan, yeah.
Nolan did not have to be messing with Berlin. They were having enough trouble already. So throwing that monkey wrench in there. This is what I'm saying, where you don't know who to root for and who's the hero on Defiance. Every time you watch it and you think you're kind of comfortable with somebody, and you kind of think you know them, they go off and they do something. And you're like, that's not so cool.
That isn't so cool. Like, Nolan, he's not my favorite anymore. Like, ever since the Tea Party flag, I've just been anti-Nolan. And then, like, he's messing with Tommy. And, I mean, I do think that it was kind of awesome that he's like, you gotta in a punch, and I deserve that one. You hit me again, we're gonna have to go at it. So the fact that he knew he was being a dick and he accepted a punch,
guy bonding, that's established procedure. We know that. So that's
when was the last time you punched somebody?
Well, last time somebody was messing with my woman. That's total
well,
different.
When
scenario.
Was this?
Listen, look. Can we stay here with the topic, please? Guy bonding. Focus.
You haven't punched anybody. Oh my! No, I'm kidding. But so it's. I don't know. I thought that was a nice little male bonding there. It was cool, but Nolan, I still don't like the way that Tommy got like a promotion.
Yeah.
And like Berlin got a promotion, and it feels like some time elapsed that they just kind of.
Well, like I told you, the issue is Tommy used to be the backup guy for Nolan. And everybody is going towards, you know, Earth Corps. What are they called? What are the police?
Man, I don't know. Earth Corps. Let's go Earth Corps.
I know. These guys are taking over, and they're making life miserable for everybody. And Nolan is upset that Tommy's just drinking the Kool-Aid and sleeping with the woman, and he's going full Earth Corps with these guys. And he's upset about that. He's upset now. How he is acting out, Porter, is probably could have come up with a better strategy, but that's the source of his concern. Tom is like, dude, I'm just trying to survive around here. You were gone. You took my girlfriend. I don't think I see you around here anymore. And hang on, when I say you took a girlfriend, pick that any way you want.
I know, right?
he leaves and runs off with the girl. And then now Tommy's trying to settle down and create a nice established thing. And then here they come marching back in there. And then Nolan messes with this woman. So he's a little upset. Yeah. He's not happy. Nolan is not endearing himself at all. Unnecessary. He went a little far.
That's a bit much. But yeah, you know, Nolan, not the upstanding guy. Well, I mean, was he really ever upstanding? Because he like slept with Kenya and then turned around slept with Kenya's sisters.
But see, she figured he was dead, and she was dead, and they were moving on, and all that kind of stuff. I'll let that go more than that was supposed to be his buddy. He clearly knew what Tommy's feelings were for both Arissa and Berlin, and he's still messing with it. It just seems like he's just messing with him now.
So it's not my favorite. So I watched 3 episodes of Defiance all in one day, and that was today. So
oh, you did today? Oh,
yeah,
my.
Today. Like I said before, I always like to build these up and watch them at once because whatever reason, it is just enjoyable, more enjoyable for me that way.
Okay.
So we open up on this 3-episode binge watch with...
Season 2, this is episode 7, 8, or 9. That's if you can see her through my eyes is 7, 8 is slouching towards Bethlehem, and then 9 is painted from memory.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
So we open the one that I started off with Daytac banging Juliana, the handmaiden, however her name is.
Yes.
And I was just like, get this show.
It's getting freaky, ain't it? They are really getting freaky.
I am just having so much fun with it because, like, first season, I don't recall it being this way.
Well, it was not this way. There were no hand jobs and random bangings going on like this.
They just screw it. Let's do whatever. And it just totally works for me because it feels like a sci-fi kind of Game of Thrones, but not as heavy, you know. They don't kill off random people. Or they kill off random people, but not, you know, like the main characters.
We have seen a couple of sci-fi series of late that could be described as safe. Defiance would not be that. All right. There is some stuff going on in every episode where you're like, what? They did not just go there. I'm not always welcome. I'm like, oh, they really did not have to go there. They did not, but they are definitely uncomfortable. Defiance will make you uncomfortable.
I haven't been so uncomfortable. I've been amused.
What? Okay. Well,
what's uncomfortable?
Let me just throw one down at you, all right? We were talking about the banging scene. That's nice, right? Call me Stama. Picture on the headboard. That is uncomfortable.
Was glorious because it was just out of line altogether. Was so funny.
Not very safe.
Oh, Carl, you so vanilla.
Jerry, next morning, he gets up, goes walking out. What, had they bolted him in? What was going on with the door?
I don't know. Like, why was it chained?
Yeah, there was a chain. So he's chained in there, and she's laid through the door crack. And Daytac can't find a friend when he needs one, can he? No one will help Daytac move. Please, please. All right, got a body here. I really my phone's breaking up, Daytac. I got to go. God, put him out of his awkward situation.
Oh, my God. So I thought that, you know, we thought that Stama had done this, killed this poor lady, gouged out her eyes, left her on the doorstep of her husband. Because it's,
I didn't think he did it. I didn't. Then the main.
No, I thought Stama did it, not Daytac.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Yeah, well.
I mean, could we put it past her?
No, you're right. Nope. That definitely seemed like something she would have done. So.
Yeah. So we spent the whole episode thinking that she was doing some plotting and scheming when it turns out that the underground Raffian cross dress club people also want their eyeballs. yeah, for that, some reason.
That is a little too authentic right there. Because,
They want their eyeballs, and the only way to get them is to take them out of a live Baratheon, and then...
I'm pretty sure that's not the only way. I just think they really wanted to be authentic, is what was going on there. Paid a bonus for being authentic.
Yeah. So that speaking of the club, do we want to stick a... I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to enjoy another guy bonding moment where Daytac and
Rafe
and Daytac are dragging the body out to the field where the monsters are running around. I mean, you talk about some routine. So, how are things going at home?
The woman's driving me crazy. I can't figure out what's going on. And on three, one, two, just hurl the poor girl.
Well, no, they had to hurl her because, like, what is out there in the woods?
Those monster things.
Why haven't they died? What are they, what is it?
Well, they're like the rats. They're like intergalactic rats. They're big, they're monstrous, they're rodents of unusual size.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, that bonding was really great.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, that's what I said. You need a friend. If you need a friend, the guy who will help you bury the body is your buddy. So it's clear right now, Daytac and Rafe, they got a bond going on.
They don't have a bond. The only reason Rafe helped him is because he was giving Rafe weapons.
Look, given the past of Daytac, that counts as a friend. that's a buddy right there.
That is hilarious. He was like, I was sad to see her go too. She was really nice to me.
She was nice to you. It's a Pulp Fiction moment, is what it was. That was a Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it was.
Those two. So,
that's okay. So, we learn a little bit more about this cross-dressing Raytheon club. We predicted that the DJ Hooker was up to no good as she was trying to get Alak's wife into this club. Turns out this club empowered the, what's her name, wife?
Christy
empowered her, made her feel like Stama. Here is another girl wanting somebody to call her Stama. And so DJ Hooker is always scheming to try to get a better status in life because
she's about. Now you're talking about gold digging. She has a strategy and she is sticking to it. She is working her way up the corporate ladder, or if you want to call it that. But she has a plan.
She does have a plan, and she'll go about things in her own way. I do have a feeling she's gonna die or whatever.
Why would you say that?
Well, I saw a preview with what looks like Christy knocking the crap out of her, so I don't know.
Well, I also think that Stama is not gonna be okay with her. So if Stama ain't okay with you, you won't be around long.
So what the DJ Hooker girl is trying to do is take Alak from Christy, and she created a situation where Christy went to this club, this nightclub where everybody cross dresses as Baratheons, and so Alak, DJ Hooker strategically leaks this information to Alak. Alak goes to find her
and Castilian. Castians. They're crossed as Castians, right?
Who's a Baratheon?
Oh, my God.
Oh, a Baratheon is Orisa. I'm sorry. Castians. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. I've been saying the wrong thing. I've been thinking one thing and saying the other. Sorry. Gotcha. Castians. The Castian Club. So he goes to the Castian Club and he finds Christy and, you know, the Casty gear, and is offended by it.
Well, yes.
He didn't think she was beautiful, and he thought she was making fun. And I'm curious about that response.
You're curious about that response?
Yeah.
Why are you curious about that response?
Why was he offended?
No.
What do you mean?
Well,
I mean, you can, like, I have a feeling that you're feeling like, oh, this is blackface or whatever, but whiteface.
Yes.
But, like, how is it different from, like, someone, like, going to an Islamic country and wearing a head wrap or and the clothing that the women wear? They're going to wear the clothing because that's what they do in that culture. Is it insulting if a Westerner wears those clothes?
I think the issue is, and what's going on at that club, is all about the fetish and the appearance of looking like the Castians. It's not about their culture. It's not about the stuff that really makes them great. It's the caricature of them.
No, you're right.
And for him to walk in there, he's overcome some things because it is an interspecies marriage already going on. He has expressed some issues with her because she's not Castian. But I do not think that simply putting on the makeup is enough to make up for the issues that they're having. And it seems like she took the easiest way out. I mean, this is what he's thinking, that she took the easiest way, the most fetished way, the most extreme way, didn't even talk to him about it. That's not how you appreciate the culture. That's not how you do it. And he was a little upset by that. So
the fact that he didn't even think she was even remotely beautiful is sort of, well, I mean, because she didn't look terrible.
But again, it was because she was in the costume of his culture.
Yeah.
I don't think he was saying she wasn't beautiful. It was just that he was so offended by what she was doing.
Yeah, because it is like a nightclub. And not
a regular nightclub. This is a seedy nightclub. And these people are not about appreciating the culture.
Yeah. I think you make a really great point about them fetishizing the culture. Well, we know that. But the problem is I have with it is that maybe he was fetishizing Christy because she's human and he only likes her if she's human, and he's not interested in casty women, he's only interested in human, hence his attraction to DJ Hooker, right?
Yeah, that's possible. Well, it's clear he may have a little self-hate going on because look at his family. I mean, he's been through some crap with them. So the fact that he married somebody different might be a reflection of that. The fact that he's reacting this way might be a reaction to that. It's very complex. We don't know yet. But hey, the fact that they have structured the character this way, where we're at least asking these questions, good work, you guys. Good work.
So, it is good work. But then I think that Alec crosses a line that Christy may not have crossed. And he actually has sex with DJ Hooker.
As opposed
to, like, I was wondering, like, what would Defiance do with Christy and the old creepy man? Like, would they cross that line?
Yeah, well, given that there are no lines on Defiance. I mean, think about this. And let's take it back to season one, where we were looking at the relationship between Christy and Alec. And Alec. At that time, it seemed all innocent and happy and youthful. And the stuff that has gone down in the first couple episodes in season two has just twisted everything so rough and so bad that she was kind of holding out as one of the last halfway pure people. And given what Defiance is doing to folks this season, she's probably going to be jumping in there with that dude any day now.
That's so gross because she looks so super young and he's so super old, and that's just gross.
It's nasty. It's very nasty right there.
That's gross.
No one wants to think about that secret sauce. So.
Oh, gross, Carl.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no
one
wants that.
You. Oh, my God. I am repulsed right now.
Well, you should be. You should be.
So deeply repulsed.
Yeah.
you that congratulations.
Sure, sure. Just keep that mind. Keep that image in your mind right there.
That image is going to be associated with you. That's not cool.
There are no lines with Defiance. No lines.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know what's going to be the fallout of that, because I have a feeling that this type of behavior is accepted in casty relationships, because Stama was not upset that Alak was banging the handmaiden. They frequent the whorehouse, both of them. They have sex with the same sex, different species, blah, blah.
There aren't a lot of lines, but I think Stama is going to have an issue with this, because DJ Girl is a little aggressive, disrespectful, and a little too much like Stama in terms of focused on her goal. I think she is not, because you know, she does care about her boy, and when she sees that this girl is going to be trying to step up, you know, she's not staying on the side like the handmaiden did for Daytac. She's trying to climb up some kind of a hierarchy here, and the person who is in charge of this hierarchy is Stama. And so that's going to be an inevitable confrontation between those two, and it's not going to go well.
For DJ Hooker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the old guy drag Liberace song.
Okay, yeah, listen, Viceroy, what's his name? Viceroy, the Viceroy. Let's call him the Viceroy for now. Mm-hmm. Who's a very famous bad guy, by the way. William Atherton is his name, and he's been one of my favorite bad guys sort of for a long time. Remember, he was a guy from Ghostbusters, shut down the reactor.
That's very nice.
Die Hard.
Here?
Yes.
In this role?
Yes.
He shines.
Oh, doesn't he? I mean,
shines. This is just the creepiest, most best thing I've ever seen from this guy. Well, now I'm exaggerating just a little, but it is extremely delightful to watch.
We found him uncomfortable before, right? We found
he's still uncomfortable.
But hang on. When he broke out into song, it was all I could do, because I knew you weren't watching him live.
He texted me about it.
I mean, when he broke out, I was like, oh, Kat is going to freak over this. Because I was not well after that. So, and I know how you love musicals. So the combination the makeup, the Meg, him singing, the smarminess of it. I was like, oh, yeah, Kat's going to love
that music. Was glorious. It was the best worst thing that I had seen in a while. It was the director of this show is just genius. It's just a glorious mix of madness that is beyond anything that's on TV right now, and I don't know why it's not getting more awards or anything like that, but this thing is a gift.
It is most bizarre. You don't know what's going to happen.
No, I don't. And I love that.
And last time I had that experience while watching a show was good old Farscape. And you know there's that lineage hanging in there. So I am glad to see that.
Farscape didn't go that far.
Oh, please. It did. It really did.
It did not with the sex. They didn't give, creepy hand jobs.
At the beginning of the... Oh, well, no hand jobs, mind you. But there was some, you know, nasty interspecies stuff going down that's just...
I don't remember that.
Freaky.
Yeah, but you're a little vanilla, so I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, one of them, did you recognize that Robin Doone was actual Arathian? He was from Sanctuary? Will from Sanctuary? He was like... Arissa kissed him.
Okay, now that you're mentioning it, it is coming back, but I did not recognize it at the time.
Yeah, because he had on makeup, but I recognize because he has a kind of a unique face to me. Mm-hmm. So she is having these visions on the arcs, and apparently she thinks she saw him on one of them, and I'm not really sure what's going on with her flashbacks about the arcs, are you?
No. All we know is something significant happened to her aboard the ship.
Her, or is she having a vision of her in someone else, or what?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because I'm really not. I'm a little confused about the timeline in terms of how long things have been on Earth versus on the ships, and I still haven't got that all worked out yet. But she has always had that spiritual connection to the ship tech entity thing that she's a part of. I thought that maybe they were trying to explain that to us in these flashbacks.
That's what I thought too.
In that, you know, when she killed off the pilot, you know, pun.
Yeah.
She killed off the pilot and the ship grew into her, that maybe, I don't know if that was her or it was some ghost past person that she's inhabiting now. I don't know. But I think that was trying to explain the connection with the ships and with the AI ghost. So somebody, some Arathian in the past bonded with the ship. Maybe it was her. And that is why she has such a strong connection with it now and what's going on. So the thing that's haunting her, whatever her little emblem thing or tentacle action going on there, we don't quite know what it is. I believe that it is an AI from the ship. Or something like that. That's what I think it is. So I'm thinking that somehow the AI is communicating with her and is trying to get stuff started. I don't know why. I don't know what its goals are. But I think that's what's going on. And these flashbacks are the story writers trying to show us where this connection came from in the beginning. Where all of that happened. So I guess. That's all I know so far. And so I don't know if it was her or if it was the girl that she was. I don't know. I can't quite get that timeline squared away yet. But I'm just thinking that's how they're explaining the connection that she has with these AI, with the AI.
Well, okay. Because I wrote that down to ask you, but.
And I can't. Because the other odd thing is, if that was not her, why? Okay, so the Arathian aboard the ship looked like her, and our guy Robin Dunn's alien, you know, aboard the Arathian aboard the ship looked like him. So if that's not actually them, why did it look like them
aboard? And then why are we seeing it? Yeah, right. What does it all mean?
So if we're, you know, if it's not a hallucination or something crazy like that, then maybe we're to assume that is actually them. That is actually them.
They need to clean this up a little bit because it's a little too confusing.
Well, and we also don't know how fast Arathians age. If they age like humans do, something needs to be cleaned up. But if they have a different speed of aging, then okay. Or yeah, if they have a different speed of aging, then maybe that sort of explains this. But I don't know.
Is that the future or is that the past? Because if Nolan rescued her as a little girl and we've seen her as a little girl, then how was she on the ship getting implanted by the ship when we saw this happen to her as a little girl and she was supposed to be the chosen?
I don't know. That's what's throwing me. That's what's throwing me.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Or if there's some suspended animation because she was joined with the AI ghost. I don't know. I can't figure that out yet.
I don't know.
That was a quick, I mean, as much as we got out of what was going on between Arissa and what's Robin Dunn's name? Do we know what his name was on the show?
Miko
is his name. So yeah, what was going on between those two? In just that one episode, that was a lot of background. I mean, it's part of why it seems like it's a flash, and we need them to flesh that out a little bit more. But man, they really packed a lot in for those two. So I don't know what it means yet, though.
Okay. I'm just making sure that I wasn't like not paying full attention, or it was, you know, doing some weird Dominion crap, or
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I let's talk about Kenya. That's a big story.
Yeah.
Her return. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got spoiled on Twitter that she was coming back. So I just thought that it was just going to be like, oh, I stumbled off and got rescued and I'm not dead and blah, blah, blah. But there was this really weird, bizarre twist.
Yeah. Well, I had two spoilers regarding that. The first spoiler was I tried to figure out why she left the show in the beginning. I was like, why in the world? She had an interesting character. Stuff was happening and we had talked about that. Well, I read an article and it said that she was a little concerned that things were becoming over-sexualized on the program.
As she was casted as a whore?
Well, I'm just saying. I think she thought that her character was going to be doing something more, a little more of the heart of the gold, a little less of the horror part of that. So I don't know if she was entirely comfortable with that. And so she had expressed some discomfort with that. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, she's probably not coming back. But then when I saw her name in the credits for the episode at the beginning, I was like, what? Wait a minute. And then it said guest starring, you know, and right then you're like, oh, okay, this probably means she ain't going to make it or she's not going to be back to stay. So those two things going into the episode, I was like, okay, so how are they going to make this temporary? And with me and it being sci-fi, first thing I went for was a clone. First thing I went for was
too
a clone.
Too smart for your own pants.
But hey, but with these guys, it was fun watching Daytac and Stalma digging around trying to get to the bottom of it.
Because
that was a really interesting thing that they did with who she was. Trying to get to the bottom of that, no pun intended. That is she, because it was easy. I think even the writers knew that it's easy to guess that she could have been a clone. So to keep us guessing throughout the whole episode, whether she was a clone or whether she survived and came back and having them wandering around in the lilacs. That it was fun and it kept me guessing all along and I wasn't sure, but you know, the whole tank sloshing around flashbacks kind of gave it away too. But still, I thought it was a noble attempt, and it was fun to watch and fun to not be certain about that all through the episode. So well done. And you talking about somebody uncomfortable. Stalma, it's rare to see her rattle.
Oh my God.
It's rare to see her having a problem with what's going on around. She's kind of pretty on top of things. So when she looks up and she comes walking in the front door, oh yeah.
That was nice. That was my favorite. I hadn't seen Stalma look that terrified ever, because what she saw was the end of her trust with Amanda, her end of her freedom at the need mm-hmm. want, end yeah. of a lot of things. She was just gonna probably go to jail.
Because seriously, between what's going on? Well, you know that our sheriff would not be take too kindly.
Oh no!
So, you know, Nolan would not be too thrilled with that going on, and then you got the issue with Amanda, who she's been trying to get a little closer to of late. I mean, if that came out that she had just drugged and killed her, that would not have ended well for her.
I really enjoyed her discomfort, because we haven't seen her be afraid of anything
right.
in a very long time, or right. seem like in peril or out of control. And just to see her in the panic, I wanted that to last. It lasted as long as I wanted it to. I didn't want yeah. it to go on, but I wanted it to be more than one episode. And the way it went was really great. And the fact that Daytac really didn't expect her to kill her, so she killed her for no reason at all. So the chick is just dead for no reason. And the clone was brought out or created for the most ridiculous reason ever. Niles Pottinger.
Yeah.
Niles. Yeah. This guy needs to get better game, because what he does to try to get a woman is too much and it doesn't work. He went to the Wile E. Coyote school of popping game on women and shit. It's just like, number one, if you want to get a girl, don't spy on her, don't get her addicted to drugs. And don't bring her dead sister back to life as a clone.
Can look like the hero. Man. It's a very clear strategy. Man. I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
That is so much.
I agree on two levels. One, I thought it was a little far to go for Niles to try to. Win the affections of Amanda. But the other thing, I thought it was a little far to go from a plot standpoint, because come on, you're bringing in a clone. There's a lot of really cool stuff, reasons that you could have for doing that. For what they came up with, I was like, really, guys? Really? Yeah. But what I really enjoyed, because of course I knew that that she wasn't gonna, you know, make it either through this episode or very long. What I found really amusing is nobody wanted her alive. Okay, Amanda was the only person that was happy to see her. Remember Doc Yule when she showed up? Yule wasn't happy. Niles wasn't happy. Stama wasn't happy. Just her walking into the town. Just like the lasers were on her from the moment she walked in. So the fact that she's staggering through the brain drug, they were trying to wipe her brain out. We had Stama trying to figure out if she was alive or not, was already plotting to kill her off. nobody was happy to see her except Amanda, and that tension was harsh. It was harsh.
Oh my God, it was well done to bring her back and have her exit the way she did. I also enjoyed, like you said, the digging, the indignity of them having to dig up the corpse of this woman just to make sure it was her.
The slight comedic edge of that, where they're like, you didn't bury her next to Lilac, did you? Bam! It's a freaking field. It's like, oh, crap.
So God.
Or no, especially Stama, known for her grace and daintiness, out there just shoveling it out, trying to figure out, where did I bury this body?
That was so awesome. Great. Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
Again, a fabulous bonding opportunity for the two of them. I mean, they go apart, but when necessary, they come back together as a loving family.
Oh, and boy, did they come back together when they went to the trailer.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Sokka outside, not real happy.
No, he expressed his dissatisfaction, and I thought he was going to wake up dead. No, I really thought I was scared for his life, because Stama is like, number one, you're speaking against, you know, out of turn. You're a servant. You do what I say. It looked like he was going to pay for that comment, and might still pay for it.
Well, but the thing is also, he was clear, and we have seen throughout the series, that he has loyally been there for Stama. And so I was not so worried that he was going to die because Stama felt disrespected from what he was saying. I thought that the situation that Stama was putting him in was so dangerous that Daytac might take. Because look, Daytac has been disrespected in the extreme. Okay, well, any way you want to look at it, between the prison, between the beat down, whatever you want to call it, Daytac is trying to work his way back up. If they do get back together and try to become the power couple that they were, everybody that sided with Stama, this is what he says, but you got to look at it from his perspective. He went out on a limb for her, and now she's, you know, knocking boots again. And you think that's going to be okay for everybody else? No, that is a bad dynamic.
He even pulled a knife out on him.
Yeah,
again.
He pulls a knife out every week. So that is,
that is true.
But now he's really out there. So, yeah, that's going to be a problem if those two decide to try to reconcile.
And you know Defiance is going to go there.
Yeah, of course, because everything's uncomfortable. Hey, stuff can't be smooth. You got to pick the shardiest kind of pointy edge out of every conceivable direction. So,
oh, did we not see that the guy in the mask was going to be Rafe's son? Because something about that family, they're always wearing masks.
That's true. That's true. I don't know what else to say. I saw it. The mask kind of felt familiar. The scenario felt familiar. I was afraid it was going to be Niles for a second there, but yeah, that made sense. There's plenty of other twisty stuff going on.
Yeah, but it's just like, oh, is he going to have to kill a son after he already killed his nephew?
Yeah.
Like, what is going to happen here? I don't know.
All right, so much stuff going on. Let me see. See through. Okay, so see through her eyes. That's pretty much the Daytax murder mystery. Okay, so we did that one. That's towards Bethlehem. Which is, let's see, the E-Rep, okay? That's how I'll quit calling me Earth Core. The E-Reps. The E-Rep arrest a terrorist and to try to determine the location of the bomb.
New York was going to get blown up, blah, blah.
Yep, okay.
We got to see a flashback of Kenya. We found out the origin of her name.
Right.
Which...
That made sense. That was creative. I can go with that. Besides, the E-Reps got that whole Nazi vibe about him anyway, in terms of the outfits and stuff.
No. So, Kenya figured out her name, and then we learned about Berlin's name.
Right. I'm just saying that before that, the Berlin kind of was lending itself toward that. But then once we found out, it made even more sense because of the propaganda. Plus, she has the outfit.
You know what? I said that a few times. A few episodes back, and you laughed at me.
I did. I thought it was crazy, and that they were going to come up with a better explanation for her name.
No, sir. I am right, and I'm right most of the time, sir. And you need to get on board. So, you know what was also funny when they were figuring out that if Kenya was a clone or not, she was saying something about an eagle tattoo.
Yep.
And so Nolan brought Kenya to Berlin, and she walked in. Is this going to be a three-way? Because if so, I'd like to know your name. Berlin was totally down for that three-way.
Like, she was thinking about it. She was not put off by that. She's like, well, I need another camera. You can tell she was working through
she
it.
She was totally down for the whole thing, and she it wasn't until like. They pulled the tattoo, and he was showing her the tattoo that she had finally realized, oh, this is not going to be a three-way.
Right.
I was just, like, totally surprised.
She was rather relaxed with that scenario, wasn't she?
Yeah, I was just
I'm going to need you to take off your top. Okay. She was down.
Yeah. This show has gotten so crazy. It's wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to need Pottinger to declare his love, like get a beatbox, stand out in her yard, hold it over your head, declare your love, or go home.
He's gonna do that, and she's gonna be so disgusted and put off by it that it's gonna turn him even more. You know that's what's gonna happen. You know, because he's gonna just one day just clumsily try to come out and say, "Yeah, but I've done all of this for you," and she's gonna be like. Get away. And that's when he's just going to go mad right then. And
what is so wrong with courting her properly and respecting her? Because like right now, he doesn't feel like she's smart enough to handle him being attracted to her. So he's going to go about it the roundabout way with all of these tricks and subterfuge and all this shenanigans. And I just don't understand why he just can't talk to her. They had a moment. She opened up to him. I think she even took a liking to him. I don't understand why.
Yeah, but he maybe thinks it was the drugs. He can't be sure. He's like, I'm sure I was slipping her some stuff on the side. She probably doesn't think it's real. I've got to win her over through some kind of way. And given his career and all the stuff that he's done, this is the best he can come up with. This is his Mac. So, yeah,
it is the most impossible.
It's very sad. It is very sad.
It is just so inconvenient and so just over the top way
But then again, see, that's just because you know how hard he's working. See, she doesn't know. She doesn't have any clue about all of this stuff that's been going on in the background. So,
that's how, like, when women get prepared to go out and we put on all our makeup and all the shoes and all that stuff, that's what I feel like we go through, but it's just not as traumatic as what he's doing.
Yeah, I would hope not.
We do go through those great lengths just to look nice, but good Lord.
Yeah, let's hope it's not quite that.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. It's not that. Yeah. But I wonder, though, would they get you what you want, really? Yeah, I'm not going to go to the Wile E. Coyote school of Mackin.
Of Mackin. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's not a... Yeah,
yeah, they're more efficient ways. More efficient ways.
Okay.
Faster ways to get an answer to.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. What else?
I don't know. There's so many different directions that are going on. I'm glad to see things developing with Wrath, his character coming out a little bit more and finding out what's going on with him. I want to see a little bit more. Now we got father and son on the scene, so let's see what's going on and how that's going to develop. Because is he still in the house with Stama? Is that what's going on right now?
I think so.
And that can't be all that comfortable for Daytac. So I'm kind of curious to see where that's going to go. We've got a lot of chaos going on in the home life because Alak is sleeping around. And now we've got Christy sneaking out at night. You got Stama trying to keep stuff together. Wraith's up in the house. Now Daytac wants to come back in.
The men aren't going for it. Nolan is being a dick.
No, hang on. I'm just talking about in the Daytac home, right? In the Tar home. I'm just trying to confine it to that level of insanity
now. Well, we haven't seen them in the bathtub in a while, so I think that they need a good old bath to cleanse away.
Bath it out.
A family bath. Put Wraith in there, Christy in there. Put Alak in there, Daytac. Stama.
Dirty Daytac coming with the muddy feet. I was burying your girlfriend.
That's what you take baths for, to get clean. Like, are you supposed to come into a bath clean already? It's
ridiculous. Well, which one? Because the family bath, you probably have to bathe before the family bath, because them people are mighty clean. So you probably don't want to just walk into the family bath straight from the fields.
Is that how that works in your house, Carl?
Well, when I'm doing my milk bath and I have my family joining me, clearly, we have had a sparkling cider bath first. I'm thinking there's a little more ritual than just bathing. So I'm gathering that there's probably more than one going
on.
Whatever. I don't think it's just about getting clean.
So I thought the bait and switch with the doctor gouging out the eyes of the Casty people, or the Arathian, I don't know, gouging out the eyes. I don't know, what was that story even for?
They did seem to take us in a different direction. I mean, they brought in the whole character of the guy, and as well as, well, I guess maybe they were introducing us to this dark surgical world that's going on, and all this other stuff is going on. But I did feel that was a little out of left field there. So maybe it means that we're going to see something more later.
I don't know.
But no, I agree with you, is bottom line. Yeah. It seemed a little much.
I don't know. I mean, I checked off everything on my list. I got everything off my chest.
Okay. All right. Well.
Oh, there's one more thing that I think we should consider, though.
Okay.
If there's a free trial or something, we should try to play the game.
Really?
Oh, God. What? You're supposed to be excited.
I don't know. I'm curious to hear how things are going with the game. It's just all the stuff that I like about the show.
It's not gamey.
Right. Exactly. It's definitely the character interpersonal stuff that is really fleshed out in the show. I do miss the broader sci-fi, but I don't think that would be effectively conveyed in the game. So, and you know what? Aren't there webisodes for this as well?
I don't know.
We probably need to dig around, because one thing about Defiance is they really tried to be multimedia with how they unveiled and how they opened things up. I have a feeling that there are...
Why don't you look that up for me and send me a link? And I'll do that.
Because if that's the case, then maybe there are some missing pieces that we have not followed up on, that might just be out there and might answer some of the questions that we have.
Maybe. Yeah, because I'm feeling like everything that's on the arc, I just don't get. And I'm pretty sure maybe if we... But see, my problem with that is that if you have one piece of media... People should be able to get all they need from one piece of media, not have to deal with all of the media in order to understand your whole thing. Like, it's just like Walking Dead and then Talking Dead. It's like, oh, you gotta read the comic book, and then you gotta watch TV show, then you gotta watch Talking Dead right after, because they get an explanation. No, I just want to enjoy the show. I don't want to have to watch the Talking Dead.
Yeah. Well, if they're just dropping Easter eggs, that's one thing. But if there are episode critical things that aren't being explained anywhere else, then yeah, I'm with you. That's a lot happening. So I don't know. All right, I found the link, so I'm sending it to you now.
Oh, I was kidding. Oh, but fine, we'll look at it. Mm-hmm. You see Carl making more work for me.
I'm answering your question. Why are this is me helping. I'm helping.
You're not helping.
I'm helping.
You're not helping.
This is what you asked for.
I asked for a lot of things. You never give it.
Okay, well, see, when I do...
I don't know what that meant.
And then when I do, you give me trouble. See, I'm trying to be good here.
Well, you need to give it right.
No man wants to hear a woman say that ever. You ain't giving it right.
Hold my purse.
Here we go.
Oh my God. Oh, so they are webisodes. You did something right, Carl.
Harsh.
What is this AOL thing? Are you going to send me something from Netscape?
There are more. Stop it. That's where they are. So anyway, so okay, you got anything?
I will put these in the show notes so you guys can see the webisodes. I guess I'll watch them, because maybe they have some great information and Carl put forth the effort to give us these links. So yeah,
let's hope.
Okay, so ready to wrap up?
I think that's it.
Alrighty, that's our show, folks. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website, leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. We are also on iTunes. You can leave us a review there.
You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Robo Minister. Kat is at Fancy Vimbot. And you can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line, Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
What happened to the at Sci-Fi Party Line?
I was going to switch it up. Sometimes it's an at, sometimes it's two ats.
Like the at. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.